Queens News Time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Simchat Torah, the festival for rejoicing with the Torah, is a remarkable balance wheel in the mental health of the Jewish people. We have recently observed Yom Kippur, with its emphasis on fasting and repentance. Simchat Torah, which begins next Thursday evening, is a festival radiant with joy and celebration. On Thursday night and Friday, Torah scrolls are taken from the Ark and carried seven times around the sanctuary. The rabbis taught that just as Joshua encircled the walls of Jericho seven times and they collapsed, so the walls of hatred and bigotry should collapse in our time. Saddam Hussein calls for holy wars. The Ku Klux Klan's David Duke runs for the United States Senate. There is a rise of group tensions in our cities. In the face of that troubled climate, the message of humane coexistence and respect for moral law makes Simchat Torah more than an exercise in archaic symbolism. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
To many American Jews, President Bush's first moves against Iraq's aggression were strong, even brilliant. He recognized Saddam Hussein for the brutal despot that he is, and the president skillfully mobilized world opinion to repudiate Iraq's rape of Kuwait. Saddam Hussein, now boxed in by an international embargo, connived with PLO's Arafat to divert attention from Kuwait's destruction to the Israeli-Palestinian issue. The Jerusalem riots with a tragic loss of Palestinian lives need not have happened. But since when have Saddam Hussein and Arafat hesitated to sacrifice human lives for political fantasies? They call it martyrdom. It is very sad that both the United States and Israel were sucked into the Iraqi PLO trap. The sooner the world's attention is returned to the main issue of Iraq's aggression against Kuwait, the clearer will our heads be on how to stop this Iraqi madman from further acts of destruction. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. It's time 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Everyone in the Jewish community with whom I have spoken last week is deeply troubled by the riots on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The death of Palestinians brings no joy to Jewish hearts. But the organized Palestinian riots to maim and wound thousands of Jewish worshipers at their holiest shrine on a holy day fills all Jews with outrage. That sense of being violated was intensified by the inexplicable Bush administration's resolution at the United Nations condemning Israel in a one-sided manner. Can anyone see that that act of appeasement is anything but a victory for Saddam Hussein and PLO's Arafat? That unjust resolution also reveals the hypocrisy of the United Nations. In recent months, thousands of human beings were murdered in Lebanon, Rwanda, Punjab, even at Mecca in Saudi Arabia. Not a single word of protest, certainly no resolutions, came before the United Nations. Can anyone explain why that moral paralysis exists for everyone except for Israel? This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, Eastern Standard Time, 7:37. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
A few years ago, I was invited by Pentagon officials to speak at a breakfast meeting in the defense of American democratic values. It is difficult to reconcile that positive experience with the contradictory behavior of the Defense Department in Saudi Arabia. Last week, we learned that defense issued pamphlets to all military personnel in Saudi Arabia, warning them not to offend Saudi Islamic culture. Christians cannot wear a crucifix. Jews cannot display a Star of David. There is to be no discussion of U.S.-Israeli cooperation. I can understand the need not to flout sensitive issues, but this is not flouting. This is profound self-denial of American democracy. I would think that our mission is to help educate peoples about the virtues of democratic pluralism rather than capitulate to Saudi feudalism. At the cost of billions, we are defending the Saudi monarchy from collapse. They must not be allowed to undermine the democratic character of thousands of our finest young people. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:37. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Last evening, some 500 Catholics and Jews joined in paying tribute to two great religious leaders at a ceremony in Great Neck, New York. The leaders are Cardinal Jan Willebrands of Rome and Rabbi Mordecai Waxman, a leading conservative rabbi. The occasion was one of many observances marking the 25th anniversary of Nostra Aetate. That Vatican Council declaration literally helped change the course of 1900 years of Catholic-Jewish relations. Cardinal Willebrands, now 81 years old, was with the late Cardinal Bea, the chief architect and guiding genius in bringing about a radical improvement in ties between Catholics and Jews. This Dutch cardinal, who helped save many Jews during World War II, became one of the most trusted friends of the Jewish people and others in Rome. While he will not be physically active as before, his loving, compassionate spirit and intelligence will hover over the thousands of Catholic-Jewish dialogues that he helped inspire throughout the world. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time 7:37. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The vast majority of Jewish leaders in the United States and Israel strongly disagreed with Rabbi Meir Kahana, but they joined as one last week in deploring his murder by an Egyptian killer. Rabbi Kahana's ideology and demagogic method were repugnant to most Jews. Israel's Knesset rejected him for his racism. But the huge turnouts of mourners says something basic about Jewish feelings. Kahana's slogan of never again spoke to the hearts of thousands of Jewish survivors of the Nazi Holocaust and their families. Jews were utterly powerless under the Nazis and paid the supreme price for their vulnerability. Never again, said Kahana. His other largest group of followers were Sephardic Jews. They had lived in Arab countries and suffered from terrors and bitter discrimination. Kahana's anti-Arab views became their consolation. Rabbi Kahana's turbulent career was probably best summed up by Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz, who said, "I thought he asked the best questions, but answered them in the most simple-minded and dangerous way." This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. 36, now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
There is something morally confusing and dangerous going on in America about the Persian Gulf issue. Yesterday, President Bush celebrated the defeat of tyranny and oppression in Czechoslovakia. Tens of thousands of Czechs applauded their liberation from communist cruelties. Americans and most other nations understood that as a victory for democracy and the human spirit. On Thanksgiving Day, the president will feast with American troops in the deserts of Saudi Arabia. He will be followed by clouds of growing American dissent. At least two neo-pacifist groups urged last week that the president either pull American troops out of the Persian Gulf or give up any military options against Iraq. Saddam Hussein is not a Hitler who has carried out a Holocaust, but his career has been bloody and brutal. In the 1930s, similar pacifist groups vigorously urged accommodation with Hitler, and the Nazis took that as a sign of support and encouragement. Looks as if we're being asked to repeat that pattern. Appeasement now, destruction later. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time 7:36. Now, a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Thanksgiving, which we observe this weekend, has a message about the things that should really count in our lives. Our pilgrim ancestors knew that the rituals of Thanksgiving were more than turkey and stuffing. They identified with the ancient Israelites in the Bible who offered thanks to God for the daily blessings of life and good health, supreme sides of their humanity. The prophets ranked ingratitude, taking daily gifts of food, clothing, shelter, and taking other people for granted as a supreme sin. That decline in elemental gratitude is an acid that eats away at all human relationships today. In an age darkened by tyranny and widespread hunger and poverty, Thanksgiving should be a time for the rebirth of plain old-fashioned gratitude for the everyday gifts of life, human friendships, caring for one another, and above all, human freedoms. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. This time is 7:37. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
A potentially historic meeting between Pope John Paul II, Vatican authorities, and world Jewish representatives will be held in Rome this coming week. The occasion is to observe the 25th anniversary of the adoption of the milestone declaration Nostra Aetate, which literally changed the course of Catholic-Jewish relations for much the better. 20 Catholic leaders and an equal number of us from the Jewish communities around the world will examine the progress that has been made in overcoming anti-Semitism and all forms of bigotry. Much emphasis will be placed on what still needs to be done to promote peace and understanding, especially in Eastern Europe and the threatening Middle East. No major questions from either the Catholic or Jewish side will be avoided, including Vatican-Israeli relations. That frankness and search for truth and a spirit of friendship in itself is the most distinctive evidence that a new era has emerged in Catholic-Jewish solidarity. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
News Time 7:37. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
With the lighting of the first candle this coming Tuesday evening, the Jewish people begins the celebration of the eight-day festival of Hanukkah, or the Feast of Lights. Hanukkah commemorates the victory of Judah the Maccabee over the massive invading armies of the Syrian Empire. It also marks the rededication of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, which the pagan Syrians had defiled. The Maccabean victory was the first successful triumph in the struggle for freedom of conscience in the history of mankind. Had the Syrians defeated the Maccabees, Judaism might have perished, and quite conceivably, Christianity and Islam might never have emerged. Hanukkah this year hopefully will rekindle the Maccabean spirit in today's troubled world. That spirit calls for resistance to modern-day tyrants such as Iraq's Saddam Hussein. Hanukkah is the time to light a candle for freedom and not capitulate to the darkness of dictators. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The proceeding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
It's News Time 7:36, now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
This evening is the sixth night of Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights. One of the most impressive observances of this eight-day festival is that conducted by the Lubavitcher Rebbe of Brooklyn and his pious Hasidic movement. The mammoth Hanukkah menorah set up in public property on Fifth Avenue and in many other cities dramatized this holiday's message of light and warmth of spirit. This coming Tuesday, the Lubavitcher Rebbe will speak over intercontinental satellite hookup to 12 countries. The message of the Rebbe is compelling. Every night of Hanukkah, he says, we add a candle. These lights express the need for steady growth, never content with our achievements, no matter how great, but constantly searching for new creative opportunities. This Hasidic embrace will warm the hearts of many Soviet Jews, among others, who never knew there was a Hanukkah. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. It's News Time 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
When I was a child, I lived in Baltimore, Maryland. My parents were devout Orthodox Jews who owned a small grocery store in a poor working-class neighborhood. All of us, Irish, Italian, blacks, and Jews, had suffered desperately together through the Depression. On the afternoon of a Christmas day in the 1930s, I found my mother packing groceries into baskets and tying them with red and green ribbons. I asked her what she was doing, and she answered that she had just found out that several of our Christian neighbors did not have money to buy food for a Christmas dinner. It is Christmas, my mother said, and it would be terrible if our neighbors would go hungry on their holiday. And this Orthodox Jewish woman went through our neighborhood handing out Christmas baskets as if she were Santa Claus. I often think of that lovely moment and wonder why the spirit of people caring spontaneously for other people prevails mainly from December to January, and why not as much from January to December. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time 7:36, now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
What kind of year was 1990 from a Jewish perspective? It was the worst of years, and in some ways almost the best of years. American Jews shared the political and economic concerns of all Americans, but special anxieties emerged over Saddam Hussein's brutal aggression against Kuwait. Iraq's military machine and its weapons of mass destruction became an ominous threat, especially against Israel. The Persian Gulf crisis also led to strains between the Bush administration and the Jewish state, which are now being attended to. Ironically, the Persian Gulf crisis overshadowed one of the great historic developments of our lifetime, and that is the large migration of Soviet Jews to Israel. Domestically, Jews were concerned by the rise of bigotry and anti-Semitism, and also troubling were increased intermarriages without conversion. But there were also positive balances in the return of Reform and conservative Jews to deepen Jewish traditions. Orthodox Jews showed particular signs of renewal. Altogether, 1990 was a year filled with anguish, but there are also reasons for confidence in the future. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding a commentary, the views expressed not necessarily the views of WINS. News time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The migration of hundreds of Soviet Jews to Germany has given rise to a deeply emotional debate in the Jewish community. Survivors of the Nazi Holocaust cannot understand how any Jews would want to live in Germany whose soil is soaked with Jewish blood. They view Germany from 1945 backwards and do not trust the democratic evolution there during the past 50 years. Beyond that, survivors feel that Soviet Jews should go to Israel and help strengthen the Jewish state against their Arab enemies. Other Jewish leaders share the same feelings about Israel, but raised in the democratic traditions of individual freedoms, this view holds that Soviet Jews should have the right to choose where they want to go. Essentially, this is a conflict between individual rights and group responsibility for Jewish survival. What complicates the issue is that there is truth in both positions. It will take a large measure of patience, compassion, and wisdom to help Soviet Jews serve both their individual and group responsibilities. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The congressional debate this weekend over authorizing President Bush to wage possible war against Iraq had the hallmarks of history about it. After listening to many of the speeches, it seemed to me that there was an historic dividing line in the debate. Those who lived through the Vietnam War tended to see a potential conflict with Iraq as another Vietnamese folly. And those who had lived through the period of the Nazi Holocaust knew in their guts the frightening cost in human lives resulting from the early appeasement of Adolf Hitler. They do not want to repeat that tragic mistake with the Iraqi dictator. Many Jewish congregations have declared January 15th as a day of fasting and prayers for peace. However Saddam Hussein is forced out of Kuwait, whether by diplomacy or war, the issue of his massive military machine threatening the Persian Gulf and Israel will remain a dominant concern for months to come. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Time 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The convergence of American and Jewish bonds have seldom been as intense as they are now in the Jewish community. Synagogues have been filled to capacity this weekend. Jewish worshipers offered heartfelt prayers for the safety of brave American military forces in the Persian Gulf. And fervent sermons and liturgy expressed a special concern for the vulnerable Israeli civilian populations threatened almost daily by Iraq's Scud missiles. Financial support for the United Jewish Appeal and Israel bonds have risen dramatically. In all this, one senses a sleeper reaction to the Nazi Holocaust. Some 50 years ago, Hitler tried to destroy the entire Jewish population. Many Jews have agonized that they did not do enough then to save innocent Jewish men, women, and children. The Jewish people are determined that such destruction of innocence will never happen again. It is comforting to know that most Americans feel the same way about protecting moderate Arabs and Israelis from their common enemy, Saddam Hussein. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Mayor David Dinkins is completely within his rights as mayor of New York to visit the besieged people of Israel. With all respect, the mayor represents the interests of all the constituent groups that compose this complex society. He is the mayor of all of us, and not just for any single religious, racial, or ethnic group. If there were a crisis or tragedy in Italy, Ireland, or Greece, I would respect the mayor's wish to show solidarity with the relatives of New Yorkers in the old country. Should Mayor Dinkins decide to go to South Africa or Liberia as a sign of moral support for oppressed black Africans, I don't know a single Jewish leader who would complain about that. There are real domestic issues that require urgent priority attention. But attacking Mayor Dinkins for a humane gesture is not a productive way of solving our compelling and common problems. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
This coming Tuesday, we observe Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And on the following Monday, we mark the birthday of George Washington, the father of our nation. Both were clearly great presidents in differing ways. but together they gave to all Americans and the world a legacy of freedom and justice that should help sustain us in the present Persian Gulf crisis. President Washington was appalled by the oppressions of the British Empire. His threadbare armies fought valiantly until an American democracy was created, freed from imperialism. And Abe Lincoln sacrificed his life to preserve a united nation and to assure liberty, equality, and justice for all citizens. Saddam Hussein and his Iraqi armies are obviously different kinds of enemies than those opposed by Washington and Lincoln. But the principles that the American-led coalition is defending in the Middle East are similar: respect for human life and the right of sovereign nations to security and freedom. Those two great presidents, I believe, would have supported President Bush and the American military in the present struggle for freedom and independence. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:37. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Our first president, George Washington, whose birthday we observe tomorrow, would probably have been both pleased and troubled by much that is going on in the world today. The father of the American Revolution will clearly have welcomed the collapse of repressive communist regimes in Eastern Europe and the rise of pluralist democracies. At the same time, I believe our first American president would have been deeply disturbed over how much religious, racial, and ethnic conflict exists in so many parts of the world. In almost every struggle in the Middle East, Africa, Asia, and elsewhere, one finds an absence of any commitment to religious or racial tolerance and pluralism. The genius of the American Revolution is that it gave birth to respect for difference for every group in our society. The experience of not just live and let live, but live and help live, may well be America's most important export to building a world community. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:36. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
During the Purim holiday last week, Jews offered a prayer of thanksgiving for the defeat of the evil tyrant Haman, who in his megalomania tried to destroy Persian Jews. Very similar prayers of gratitude were recited in practically every synagogue for the brilliant American-led campaign to defeat the modern Haman, Saddam Hussein. As in the Purim experience, the Iraqi tyrant must not be allowed ever again to amass military power and threaten his neighbors. If this tragic war has achieved anything, it now seems clear that Saddam Hussein's aggression has destroyed the myth of Arab unity. Leaders of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Egypt, even Syria are talking about a new alignment in the Arab world. They have learned painfully that their real enemies are vicious dictators who kill other Arabs without conscience. It would be an extraordinary irony of the Persian Gulf War if Saddam Hussein became the catalyst for real peace between the moderate Arab nations and Israel. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:36. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
While our nation rightly rejoices in the beginning return of American military forces, an important event in the world of religion should not be lost in our Persian Gulf preoccupation. Last week, Lord Emanuel Jacobowitz, Chief Rabbi of Great Britain and the Commonwealth, was awarded the Templeton Prize for Religion. The most prestigious international religion prize, past winners were of the stature of Mother Teresa, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and Dr. Billy Graham. Lord Jacobowitz is the first Jewish leader to receive the Templeton Award, which he richly deserves. A pioneering scholar in Jewish medical ethics, Chief Rabbi Jacobowitz has been courageous if a controversial figure. He urged early on accommodation between Arabs and Jews. He called on Orthodox rabbis to cooperate with non-Orthodox in combating their common foe of paganism. And the chief rabbi is a major figure in the cause of Soviet Jewry and in Jewish-Christian relations. In honoring this distinguished Jewish leader, the Templeton Award brings honor to itself. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:37. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
What a strange irony the Persian Gulf conflict will impose this year on the observance of Passover, which begins on March 29th. This ancient festival of liberation marked the downfall of the Egyptian tyrant Pharaoh, and Passover this year will be special with the American-led victory over the modern tyrant Saddam Hussein. Ironically, the Israelites could not wait to leave Egypt and escape into the Sinai Desert, even though they were hungry and thirsty. American troops, including Jewish GIs, cannot wait to leave the desert and return to their families. To make sure that the Jewish military personnel are not deprived of their Seder experience, the JWB's Jewish Chaplains Council has already shipped some 500 cases of kosher for Passover foods to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, everything from matzo ball soup to macaroons. It will be a Passover of liberation in the desert that will not be soon forgotten. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:36. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
It was a most welcome symbolic action for this week of Passover and Easter observances. Some 40 Catholic bishops, meeting recently in the Vatican, unanimously adopted a resolution opposing sainthood for Queen Isabella of Spain. The sainthood project was undertaken by several ultra-conservative priests who wanted to embarrass the progressive leaders in the Spanish church and government. These progressives had supported religious liberty for Jews and Protestants. The Isabella proposal triggered off a storm of protests from informed Catholics, Jews, and Muslims. Queen Isabella was the mother of the Spanish Inquisition in the 15th century. She presided over one of the cruelest reigns of terror in history. Thousands of Jews and Muslims were burned alive or tortured. And in 1492, more than 200,000 Jews and later Muslims were cruelly driven out of Spain. If Isabella deserves to become a saint, so does Adolf Eichmann. It is encouraging that enlightened Catholic leaders recognized this moral absurdity and stopped it before it offended nearly everybody. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:36, that's Eastern Daylight Time. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The failure of President Bush to prevent Saddam Hussein from massacring thousands of Kurds and Shiite Muslims is morally indefensible. The president showed courage and brilliance in mobilizing massive military power to save Kuwait from Saddam's savagery. How is it that the lives of Kurds and Shiites are suddenly expendable? We have agreed, finally, to send food and medical aid to these innocent victims. So are we now helping to save their lives while Saddam is free to destroy them? I think I understand the risk of destabilizing Iraq, but there is a much larger moral issue, and that is the destabilizing the value of human life. Jews paid the ultimate price for governments and churches who chose impartial politics over moral resistance to killers. If we let that happen now in Iraq, we will have snatched sure defeat from victory. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:37. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The tragic suffering of thousands of Iraqi refugees has stirred deep feelings of compassion throughout the Jewish community, as it has among most Americans. Last Thursday was Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day. And Jewish leaders in America and Israel declare that of all people, we Jews cannot be silent to the agony of the Kurds and the Shiites. But they made more than statements. Last week, the Jewish Joint Distribution Committee and the American Jewish World Service launched nationwide campaigns to provide food, clothing, and medical aid to the desperate refugees on Iraq's borders. American Jewish World Service will be sharing its resources with a non-sectarian international rescue committee. I hope your conscience will move you to help while lives still can be saved. Contact these or other voluntary relief groups by looking up their addresses in newspaper ads or in the Manhattan telephone book. When Saddam Hussein attacked the Kurds with poison gas, the world stood by indifferently with folded arms. That cannot be allowed to happen again for our sake as much as for theirs. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Time 7:36, now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Last Thursday was observed by the Jewish people as Yom HaAtzmaut, Israel Independence Day. It was a time for facing special challenges as well as rededication to the Jewish state. The primary challenge is posed by Saddam Hussein's continued survival and the threat of a still formidable war machine. The Middle East peace process will need to go forward, but will the Arab nations finally give up their belligerency and accept the right of Israel to exist? Beyond these real and tough challenges, Yom HaAtzmaut is an occasion to recapture the meaning of Israel and Jewish history. For most of the past 2,000 years, as Dr. Leo Pinsker wrote, Jews in exile were a ghost people wandering among the living. The existence of a sovereign Jewish state ended the ghost quality of the diaspora. And as Soviet and Ethiopian Jews testify daily, Israel is the one sure haven that has ended the role of Jews as victims of history and has given its citizens hope for a humane and decent future. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
News reports last week of Nazi video games being sold in Germany and Austria have been met with shock and outrage. The so-called parlor games invite the player to pretend that he or she is manager of a Nazi death camp. The player wins points for gassing prisoners, selling gold fillings and lampshades. The Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles performed a service in disclosing these pathological games as a means of countering them. But we need to recall that they are not novelties. Hitler and the Nazi bureaucracy had prepared an entire school curriculum which included anti-Semitic textbooks and children's toys. Their purpose was to dehumanize the Jewish people and reduce them to hated caricatures available for destruction. It is instructive the neo-Nazis and skinheads demonstrated in East Germany the week before using similar anti-human imagery to attack Turkish guest workers and even Kurds. These are clearly mental sicknesses that the German and Austrian governments and all of us need to contain before they infect another generation. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Together with other Americans, Jewish people join today in honoring American mothers. Respect, even reverence for mothers, pervade Jewish tradition. But sensitive people will find this Mother's Day troubled by knowing that thousands of mothers and their families throughout the world will not experience this day as a time of celebration and indulgence. The daily TV images besiege our conscience. The haunted faces of mothers and children in Bangladesh, the Kurdish mothers, the starving mothers in the Sudan, the anxious Russian and European Jewish mothers in Israel. We rightly rejoice over Mother's Day and the freedom and abundance for most Americans, but we should not overlook our continuing responsibilities to help relieve the sufferings of deprived mothers and their families in this country and overseas. Caring for other unfortunate mothers is the noblest gift we can give to our own mothers. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Repeating the current temperature, 71 degrees, heading up to 80 in Midtown. Wins News Time, 7:35. Now, here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Memorial Day, from its beginnings in 1866, has united symbolically the American people. Powerful bonds of memory and gratitude are shared in honor of our military who sacrificed their lives in defense of democracy and freedom. Ironically, on this Memorial Day, peace and stability have grown in parts of Eastern Europe, the Persian Gulf, and elsewhere. And Ethiopian Jews, thank God, are experiencing a miracle of liberation. But our domestic streets continue to be threatened by crime, drugs, and violence. There's much debate about the reasons for this destructive pattern, but one thing seems clear. We are indulging almost passively a popular culture that links sex and violence as entertainment. The value of human life is becoming increasingly shredded before our eyes. We need, all of us, to reverse that dehumanization while there is still time. And Memorial Day should remind us that American military men and women did not sacrifice their lives overseas in order to preserve a morally vicious society at home. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time, 7:37. Now, here is a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
When the redemption comes, it will come in the twinkling of an eye. That Jewish teaching dramatically applies to the redemption of Ethiopian Jews last week. Some 14,000 of these incredibly gaunt but dignified black Jews were flown to Israel in a 36-hour period. Although exhausted and hungry, they broke into song and clapping in their packed planes as they experienced the miracle of return to Zion. There was also the miracle of the Israeli response to Ethiopian Jews. Despite all the false charges of racism, no country has welcomed black brothers and sisters with the love and enthusiasm with which Israel received these kinfolk. All this takes place against the movement of thousands of Soviet Jews to Israel who are escaping their oppressions. Jews everywhere are thrilled by these historic developments, and they're preparing to help support morally and financially this unparalleled ingathering of the exiles to their homeland. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. When's News Time, 7:36. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Operation Welcome Home for Persian Gulf veterans is, in the words of President Bush, good for America. Some critics call it a celebration of militarism. But with millions of other Americans, I choose to see the parades as acts of the nation's appreciation of thousands of young Americans who risk their lives to oppose aggression and brutality. The parades also present other powerful moral images. The Desert Storm victory was won largely through the solidarity of all American groups, black, white, Hispanic, Asians, Christians, and Jews. That is an urgent message still to be brought to our homes, schools, and streets where bigotry and hate crimes are corroding America. It has been suggested that our government should send teams of young military men and women into the major cities of this country. They are now our new folk heroes, and they have lessons to teach our people about mutual respect and cooperation. That surely would also be good for America. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. When's News Time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Father's Day, in classic Jewish tradition, was observed ideally every day, and not just one day a year. In East European Jewish life, there was a saying that a man's father is his king. Together with fellow Americans, Jews join in honoring American fathers with the usual ties, cufflinks, and assorted gifts. But sensitive Americans of all faiths will find this Father's Day troubled by the knowledge that many fathers and their families across the world are in perilous conditions. Kurdish and Shiite fathers continue to suffer oppression, starvation, and disease stalk thousands of fathers in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. The poor and homeless fathers here have little cause to celebrate. There are some bright spots with the liberation of Ethiopian and Soviet Jews, and we rightly rejoice over their and our blessed freedoms. But we ought not to forget those thousands of other fathers in many parts of the world for whom Father's Day is another day of tyranny or misery. For them, the greatest gift of all is human liberty and sustenance still to come. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
One Nation, Many Peoples, a Declaration of Cultural Interdependence. That is the title of the report issued last week, calling for a drastic revision of history and social science curricula in New York's public school systems. It has touched off a widespread controversy. From press reports, the study prepared by teachers and scholars calls for paying greater attention to the role of racial and ethnic groups in American history. That, I believe, is a worthy and necessary goal. But the study also suggests downplaying the unity of the American people despite its diversity. And that is the way of national disaster. Do we really want America to become another Yugoslavia or Soviet Union where ethnic conflicts are tearing their countries apart? The genius of American pluralism is that at its best, it has preserved a balance between group fulfillment and commitment to national unity. We need to teach our children how to hold America together while being true to their ethnic selves. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Firecrackers, outdoor picnics, Statue of Liberty celebrations. 4th of July observances this week are good for the nation and for our people's usually harassed psyches. But somewhere in the midst of the revelry, we ought to make sure that the ideals and values for which the American Revolution was fought do not get lost altogether. The American historian, Professor Richard Morris, says it is important to regain the humane sense of national pride that was strong in revolutionary times. That pride sprang from the belief that America was and is a new experiment. It is based on the rejection of European class privilege, corruption, and authoritarian government. And on the positive side, America embodies the drive of ordinary people for political equality, religious and political freedom, and economic opportunity. That means doing something real about housing, jobs, schools, taking care of the poor and homeless, among other concerns. not speeches and fireworks only, but of such acts of defending human life, is what July 4th is really made of. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time 736. And now here's a commentary by the Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
A young woman visiting Chinatown with friends is shot by a random bullet. An assistant district attorney is badly wounded while withdrawing money from a bank machine. In Los Angeles, two deaf women are shot while using sign language that is misunderstood by murderous gangs. This continuous pattern of random shootings should raise again for all of us the urgent question of limiting the availability of handguns. The recent legislation calling for a 7-day waiting period is practically meaningless. There are millions of firearms all over America. Their availability without any control makes possible this insane pattern of crimes, suicides, and accidental shootings. It is past due to consider passage of uniform federal and state legislation for a licensing system for handguns. Jewish tradition teaches that should anyone destroy a single life, he should be called to account as though he had destroyed an entire world. How many more innocent people will be destroyed before our government and politicians take renewed steps to curb the unrestricted access to murderous weapons in America? This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time 736. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The United States Senate passed a strong anti-crime bill last Thursday that contained a number of controversial measures aimed at reducing crime in America. One of the key features of the bill toughens penalties for using guns to commit crimes and bans semi-automatic weapons. That decision would find strong moral support in Jewish religious tradition. According to Orthodox scholar Rabbi Chaim Lipschitz, among others, one is permitted to defend oneself against attack both from animals and other human beings. But the use of guns for hunting for pleasure is forbidden. A person is permitted to hunt only for that which is needed for food and not for recreation. Using guns for sport violates the biblical traditions of Baal Tashrit, you shall not destroy, and Tzar Balachayim, do not cause suffering to living creatures. If it is forbidden to destroy or cause suffering to animals through the use of guns, how much more so should that apply to stop the killing of fellow human beings? This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time 737. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
At sundown last night, the Jewish people began the 24-hour observance of Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of the Jewish month of Av. Tisha B'Av is the most important of four historical fast days connected with the destruction of the first and second temples and of Jerusalem. Pious Jews pray like mourners on this day. In every synagogue, they recite lamentations over the loss of the temples and the centrality of Jerusalem in their religious and national life. With the rebirth of Israel and the unity of Jerusalem, some Jews now ask whether Tisha B'Av should not be updated. One scholar proposed these reasons for observing Tisha B'Av today. What do I mourn over? I mourn over the causeless hatred which finds people slandering and defaming each other with the daggers of their tongues. I mourn over the lack of social justice, business and professional integrity, and unethical behavior in high places. I mourn over the serious moral evils that could undermine human existence more than any sword raised against us from the outside. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time, 737. Now here is a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Kabdehu v'chashdehu, pay him respect but be very suspect. That Talmudic insight summarizes the feelings of many American Jews through the latest developments in the Middle East peace process. Most Jews, I believe, encourage a positive response by the Israeli government to the peace conference. But they share the Israeli caution about not being pushed into a trap where unacceptable conditions will be imposed by a gang-up. The issue is far less territory for peace than it is peace for peace. No Arab government, and certainly not aggressive Syria, has yet said, we end our belligerency with Israel and want to live in peace with the Jewish state. But things are changing fast, and we can only hope that some of the ancient hostile attitudes will be transformed as Arabs, including Palestinians and Israelis, sit face to face around the table. Jews and Arabs have suffered more than enough in history. It is in their common interest to make this a turning point toward real peace. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
Preceding a commentary, the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The Search for God at Harvard is the title of a recent book written by Ari Goldman, a respected religion writer for the New York Times. Goldman is probably the first observant Orthodox Jew to write for the Times. His news beat involves him in covering stories about every major religious group in America, from Christian to Zen Buddhist. To prepare himself for more knowledgeable coverage of all groups, Ari Goldman invested a year in studying world religions at Harvard Divinity School. This book is a moving account of his spiritual struggle to remain fully committed to his Orthodox Judaism while deepening his respect for other religions. It is a remarkably honest account of his spiritual journey from parochialism to respect for religious pluralism. In many ways, Ari Goldman's story is the story of many of us engaged in a similar struggle for mutual respect and tolerance in the modern world. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. 7:37, time for a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Professor Leonard Jeffries' outrageous attacks on white people, especially on Jews and Italians, is not an issue of academic freedom or freedom of speech. Academic freedom has always meant responsible inquiry, not unlimited indulgence of bigotry. Jeffries is free to say anything he wants to say, but he should not be paid by taxpayers' money to defame American citizens. Jeffries' vile racist and anti-Semitic diatribes raises the larger question of his intellectual competence. His bizarre theories of sun people being superior to ice people mimics Hitler's blather about the alleged superiority of Aryans over non-Aryans. That's not scholarship. That's vicious racism. If Dr. Jeffries were an engineer constructing bridges based on such distorted information, the bridge would surely collapse from such incompetent science. The biased education that Dr. Jeffries gives his students is no less risky for society than that collapsing bridge. The time is past due for determining whether his academic falsehoods disqualify him as a tenured professor at a major university. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. Wins News Time 7:39. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
In the present hostage crisis in the Middle East, Israel has agreed to exchange hundreds of Shiite prisoners for several Israeli military men and 10 Western hostages. That must strike many people as a strange imbalance. In fact, it reflects long-standing Israeli policy that each Israeli soldier will never be abandoned. The government will go to extreme lengths to save their lives. But that commitment also derives from a long and honored Jewish tradition. Since ancient times in Palestine, pidyon shvuyim, or ransom of captives, has been one of the most sacred traditions. But much like modern Israel, ancient Jews were also concerned about possibly encouraging hostage taking by paying too high a ransom. What is operating in the Israeli psyche today in negotiating for the release of Israeli soldiers and Western hostages are not just geopolitical calculations. These policies reflect a long Jewish humanistic tradition which regards every life as sacred and deserving of redemption. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Crown Heights tragedy last week demonstrates what can happen when reason and law are abandoned and raw hatreds and emotions run amok. The tragedy began with the accidental and deeply unfortunate death of the 7-year-old black child. It was compounded by the intentional murder of an Australian Hasidic student. The riots, looting, and near pogrom that followed confirmed long-established social truths. One of these truths is that unrestrained verbal violence inevitably spills over into physical violence. For months now, the air has been saturated with the anti-Jewish verbal violence of Farrakhan, Leonard Jeffries, and some anti-Semitic rap lyrics. While Hasidic Jews have not rioted or looted, these unsettling experiences have confirmed many in their irrational fear of black hostilities. There is a crying need for all responsible leadership in the streets of Crown Heights and elsewhere to stand vigorously against the epidemic of verbal violence and hateful stereotypes before any more blacks or Jews become innocent victims of random lawlessness. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. When's news time? 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Next Sunday evening, the Jewish people begins the observance of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. A dominant theme of these holy days centers on the creation of the world and the belief that every human being is a creature fashioned in the divine image. In the Jewish religion over centuries, black, brown, red, or white people have been accepted as converts and became full Jews without discrimination. Judaism is less a community of faith and fate and has no categories of racial superiority. That is one reason why the conflict in Crown Heights is so painful. The demagogic salesmen of hate specialize in fomenting racial hatred. If they were truly faithful to biblical teachings, they would acknowledge that neither Jews nor Christians can call themselves believers and preach racism in the same breath. Pogroms, looting, and racial slanders violate everything that America and the biblical tradition stand for. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. News time 7:36. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, begins at sundown this evening. 10 days later, the High Holy Days are climaxed by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. For 4,000 years, these holy days have celebrated the creation of one world and the unity of all mankind. Those high moral teachings have often been challenged by tyrants and demagogues, but the dedication to those ideals of human dignity has outlasted them all. In Crown Heights these days, racists and demagogues build careers on hatred, violence, and group hostility. It is as if they want to convert Brooklyn into Yugoslavia. Rosh Hashanah expresses the universal human need for containing evil through repentance. Each individual and group is called upon to examine one's attitudes and behavior and change toward a more humane and responsible way of life. May all our WINS listeners be inscribed for a good and, above all, a peaceful new year. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. When's news time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
With the chanting of the moving Aramaic prayer of Kol Nidre this Tuesday evening, the Jewish people begins the observance of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It is the most sacred of the Jewish holy days. Observed as a solemn fast day from sundown to sundown, Yom Kippur's message is that through teshuvah, repentance, it is possible for human beings to improve their character and behavior. In the synagogue on Kol Nidre evening, each person is called upon to ask forgiveness from neighbors for any injustices committed during the past year. And Jewish tradition says that Yom Kippur is of no avail, that is, it does not work, unless people forgive each other and start anew. What blows might be struck against the bigotries, the hatreds, the violence, and the corruptions if neighbors and nations would practice real repentance and forgiveness? It might help start our city and the world on a more civilized, humane course for the coming year. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
At sundown this evening, the Jewish people start observing the 8-day festival of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. Sukkot is a joyous biblical festival of thanksgiving. It recalls the time when our Israelite ancestors were mostly farmers who lived in booths or huts during the harvest season in ancient Palestine. Key symbols of Sukkot are the palm branch, the lulav, bound with willow and myrtle, and the etrog, the lemon-like citron. A rabbinic tradition teaches that holding the palm branches and citron together in prayer is a symbol of human brotherhood. We are mutually responsible for each other's welfare. In our time when racial and religious antagonisms violate so deeply our civic life, these Sukkot messages of mutual respect and human solidarity are as relevant today as at any time in the past. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. When's news time? 7:34. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Simchat Torah, the festival for rejoicing with the Torah, is a remarkable balance wheel in the mental health of the Jewish people. We have recently observed Yom Kippur with its emphasis on fasting and repentance. Simchat Torah, which begins Monday evening, is a festival radiant with joy and celebration. On Monday night and Tuesday, Torah scrolls are taken from the Ark and carried seven times around the sanctuary. The rabbis taught that just as Joshua encircled the walls of Jericho seven times and they collapsed, so the walls of hatred and bigotry should collapse in our time. Many eyes will be focused on Crown Heights this year, where Simchat Torah is an inspired public observance. Will the walls of hatred and bigotry rise up again in these streets, or will religious freedom continue to prevail as the cornerstone of our democracy? In the face of these troubling times, Simchat Torah's message of respect for moral law remains more than an exercise in ancient symbolism. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time 7:37. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The meeting between Cardinal Joseph Glemp, Primate of Poland, and 12 Jewish leaders in Washington on September the 20th was an important achievement. The street protests and the sensational publicity organized by two or three individuals should not be allowed to obscure what actually took place in those three-hour conversations. Cardinal Glemp acknowledged that the 12 Jewish leaders were the largest group of Jewish people he has ever met. His lack of contact with Jews and his lack of knowledge of Jewish history in Poland left a vacuum filled by the worst peasant anti-Jewish stereotypes. The cardinal expressed shuvah, repentance, for the pain he caused Jews and pledged to lead the Polish Catholic Church in a vigorous program to combat anti-Semitism and to build a new era of positive Polish-Jewish relations. At a meeting today hosted by Cardinal O'Connor, we will discuss concrete plans for realizing that historic purpose. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. Wednesday News Time 7:37. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The commemoration of the 500th anniversary of Christopher Columbus's landing in the New World has precipitated much discussion by many ethnic groups. Spanish, Italian, Afro-American, and Native Americans are debating the meaning of his discovery of the Americas in 1492. Interestingly, there is also a Jewish connection. There is substantial scholarship which suggests that Columbus may have been of Murano extraction. Muranos were Jews who, under duress and the Spanish Inquisition, converted to Christianity but secretly practiced Judaism. While Columbus was clearly a practicing Christian, he had many close ties with Muranos who helped him greatly with scientific equipment for sailing. The first person to set foot in the New World was Luis de Torres, the interpreter, who was also a Murano. As the interest mounts over the 1992 commemorations, the ties between Spanish Jews and Christopher Columbus will emerge as another fascinating aspect of the discovery of America. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Secretary James Baker has called his method for convening the Middle East Peace Conference one of constructive ambiguity. That term pretty much describes the feelings of many people, including most American Jews, I believe, toward the upcoming peace negotiations. Israel has sought direct negotiations with her Arab neighbors since 1948. This should, therefore, be a positive and welcome development. But the background noise is ambiguous and troubling. While everybody is talking peace, Syria continues to pile up Scud missiles bought from North Korea. The UN discovers that Saddam Hussein is secretly building a hydrogen bomb. In recent days, the Saudi president of the UN Assembly and Arab delegates walk out when the Israeli foreign minister speaks. Not exactly confidence-building measures for advancing peace. The Madrid negotiations should go on, but there should be no illusions that peace will be established quickly nor smoothly. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:36. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The convening of the peace conference this Wednesday in Madrid can be the most fateful for the Middle East in the past 50 years. The fact that Syria, Jordan, and some Palestinians have finally agreed to sit face-to-face with Israelis around the same table is no small achievement. But the crucial issue is the underlying intentions of the parties at the table. If the Syrians secretly believe that Israel must give up all its secure borders in exchange for verbal recognition of its sovereignty, then they're simply waging war by another means. and the Israelis must finally come to terms with the rights of Palestinians to autonomy. While these difficult but vital issues are being sorted out, there is a real danger that a world media circus will take place that can paralyze the actors. There should be self-restraint and wisdom not to allow that to happen. Peace in the Middle East is more important than our entertainment. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding a commentary, the views expressed not necessarily the views of WINS.